And I want to talk to you about giving careful thought to your ways. Giving careful thought. I was just thinking about trying to switch the title over to the other title that says the Spirit stirs them up. But I thought to myself, there is such an emphasis on giving careful thoughts to our ways. Please look into the slide. We're going to read the passage. Allow me to read them because it's the entire chapter of the book of Haggai in chapter 1. And I'm going to read them, giving you a little bit of background so that you can understand why this passage came about. First and foremost, looking at verse 1 in chapter 1, in the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest. Verse 2, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. If you look at that passage, God knows our inner thoughts. God knows what is happening. God knows what is going on in our lives. In verse 3, then, take note of the word then, okay? Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your panel houses while these houses remain a ruin? God is now exposing the paradoxical attitude that they had towards God's house. And then this is what happened in verse 5. Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Sounds familiar to some people. They earn a lot of money and discover nothing in the bank. That's what happened. In verse 7, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. In other words, carefully assess your predicament. Carefully assess your situation. And in verse 8, go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. God specifically pointed out the real cause of the consequence. Who was that real cause? He says, because of you. That's what he says. In verse 12, after all that happened, after the stormy weather, verse 12 says, then, take hold of that word again, then, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. And soon after they experienced these ramifications, the word then again appeared in verse 13. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. Verse 14, so the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. And the Bible says, they came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month. The spirit of the Lord permeates into the fiber of the lives of the people. Powerful, powerful passage. I remember my parents many years ago when I was young in my lower secondary school. My parents say, when you go to school, you are going there to study, not to find girlfriend. Okay, that was in my lower secondary school. My dad, being a disciplined schoolmaster, knew that 13-year-old boy's chemistry begins at age of 13. And he told me my primary purpose of going to school is not to find a girl, but to study. Am I right or not? I said that to my son as well, but so anyway, they did. After when they got a job, they found their wives. Amen. Praise God. In this situation, it appears to be quite similar. Because in the history, if you look into the book of Ezra, King Cyrus, the king of Persia, had defeated the Babylonians. And when they took over, the very first year of King Cyrus, he wrote an edict. He wrote a decree to let the people or the Jews leave this land and go back to their homeland to build the temple, to rebuild the temple for the Lord. Because God has spoken to Cyrus. And then several years later, King Darius took over and he continued with the same mandate. So there was an original purpose here. The purpose of the people of God was to go back to their homeland to rebuild the temple. That was it. That was what they were called to do. And so the history tells me after 70 years, the remnant of the people went back, and some of them were there together with Zerubbabel, Jehozadak, the high priest, and they were rebuilding the temple. But unfortunately, there were oppositions. There were people that who initially had a motive of coming in to stop the people of God from rebuilding the temple. And because of the opposition, the purpose that they had earlier from King Cyrus and King Darius was stopped. They could not continue. They have allowed the opposition and the problem to take over. So what happened was, because they decided to stop, there was such a delay. In 535 BC, they were building the foundation. Then they stopped. And it never continued until 520 BC. 16 years later, before they resumed that work, there was a message from Haggai. And the message that we just read, Haggai spoke the word. So because of that, he sent forth an urgent message. That message was to tell the people that they have been procrastinating because the house of God was rejected. The house of God was not rebuilt. The very first problem was procrastination. Because in verse 2, the people said, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Everything is not the time yet. It's not the time for me to go to church. It's not the time for me to know Christ. It's not the time for me to do this. It's not the time for me to do that. Procrastination seeped into the fiber of the society. Something else appears more important to the things of God. Now, in our modern setting is this. I know a lot of so-called spiritual Christians. When you ask them to do something, they will say, Let me pray first. Sounds familiar? Let me pray first. We tend to delay and we decided not to do it because we felt it's not the time yet. This is our religious way of procrastinating. Let me pray about it. Let me pray first. But the background tells me that they already have been given the approval and the permission to return to their homeland to rebuild the temple. So procrastination displays their priority, and most of all, they miss the original call of God. They miss the original call of God. What was the original call? I just mentioned. King Cyrus had given them the mandate. So they have missed out the original call. Sometimes we missed out God's purpose for each one of us. We ask ourselves, why am I here? What is God's purpose in my life here? As far as the Jews are concerned, the very original call was to rebuild the house of God. That was what they were missing at. Because you see, the house of God was linked up to the eternity of the people. The house of God, as the Bible described in the book of Deuteronomy, it is a house where the name of Christ or the name of God dwells. It was established right in the house of God. The house of God is very much linked up with the presence of God. And that is the problem that they have forgotten. The temple of God was broken, which means to say that the name of the Lord was not given the opportunity to be declared. And now they were told to rebuild. So the entire ministry that they were called into their homeland was to rebuild the temple for this reason, so that the name of God will be reestablished. And they missed that out. You see, friends, not only that they have missed out on that original call in regards to the house of God, but they also fail because if you look at verse 5, he says, give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have a feel. You put on clothes but have never worn. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. You know what they missed out? They missed out the centrality of God. They have forgotten that God's presence or God supposed to be the center of our purpose in living. And because they have failed that, they begin to struggle. They begin to see the need to strive, to survive. Without God, everything seems to be out of line. The Bible tells me when you don't begin with God in our life, you end up fighting for your own survival. Everything will be running as according to plan. You will just get up from your bed, go to work. Every day is going to be the same. But there's something inside at the very corner of your very soul, something is missing. Because when you take God out of the equation, the consequence is that it brings out dissatisfaction. How many of you know the society is very much obsessed to dissatisfaction? They are never satisfied of something. These are signs of putting God off or taking God out of that equation or not putting God in the center of that purpose in our life. No wonder they plant much and harvested little. When they eat, they don't have enough. When they drink, they are not satisfied. They put on clothes, they are not warm. They earn so much money, they put in a purse where there are so much holes or many holes in it. Have we forgotten our initial purpose? Have we forgotten our initial plan that God has put in our lives? May I ask you this question, my dear friends and church? Are we forgetting the reason God has given us? The reason that God has given us life? Are you forgetting why in the first place you are married? Have you forgotten that? Why in the first place you are married? Have you forgotten the kingdom of God? The very first thing that you were called to live for? Some of us, we are busy building our own ambition, but we have forgotten the house of God. Some of us are busy building our own dreams, and we have forgotten the house of God. Some of us are busy building our own desires and we have forgotten the house of God. But don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong about building your desires, your dreams, your ambition. Nothing wrong with that. But it will be something wrong when the house of God is ignored. There's something wrong when the house of God is ignored. What led into the situation? Frustration. People get very frustrated with their lives. They find their lives are not complete, not full. Something is missing. Something is still not there yet. So began to get very frustrated. You must understand, 16 years, the house of God was laid bare. There was only the foundation, nothing else. 16 years of not touching the house. That means they left the temple unattended. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, is it a time for you, the Lord says, for you yourself to be living in your panel houses while these houses remains a ruin? You know what's the second problem? The second problem is paradox. You know why it's paradox? It's because they have time to build their own house. They have no time to build God's house. So the time is not the problem. Isn't it true? Because the verse says, they said that it is not time to build the house. So time is not a problem. Because the Lord says, you have time to build your house. But you have no time to build the Lord's house. In other words, they misplaced the time of the Lord. And that is why Haggai, the prophet, came in and pronounced the wake-up call to tell them that you have time to do your own thing instead of doing the things that God has called you to do. No wonder many people today live with dissatisfaction. They eat, they don't have enough. They drink, they never have their fill. They planted, never seems to harvest much. They have clothes, but never seems to be satisfied. One clothes looks good, after that it doesn't look good anymore. Isn't it true? My wife says in my wardrobe, I have the most clothes. Not my wife, my clothes. Which is true. And I look at my clothes, she says, you know what, there's so many, you can just take it away because I don't see you wear them. Which is true. Because some of which I look at it and I wore them and I look at myself in the mirror, I say, it makes me feel so much older now. It makes me feel so much older. And I was just trying to clear them, but no. Some of these clothes, you just have that love to keep them there, but you don't seem to wear them. That's the problem, isn't it? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Don't look at me so innocently. I know you guys are not that innocent. Come on. Yeah? I'm seeing some laughter and some poking and some actions there. Praise God. Yeah? So we tend to look at the situation and we have this paradox in our life. But the real problem is that many believers treat God's things as secondary. We don't seem to treat the things of God as something that is important, that is linked up to our everyday life. So the real problem is this. They override God's purpose with their own plans. They override God's purpose with their own plan. They have turned their deaf ears to the call of God. They have turned their deaf ears to their original call. They have decided to develop a new calendar for themselves. And so they went about doing the things. Some of us here today may probably think that the house of God is not that important. Coming to the house of God is not that important. Listen, church, can I be rational and logical with you in all sense of love? Amen? No offense to you. There are 168 hours a week. Somebody say amen. 168 hours a week. Is my mathematics correct? Okay. And all I'm asking you, 2 hours in the church service and 2 hours in the Bible study. How many hours do you have? 164 hours a week. What do? You sleep, you talk, you have entertainment, you work, and then you eat. And then you say, no time to come to church. Many believers have treated the things of God secondary. How much time do we actually bring about our lives into the things and to the kingdom of God, into the house of God. Verse 6, as I reiterated to you, you planted much but harvest little. When you eat, you never have enough. But when you drink, you are never full or satisfied. You put on clothes, you are not warm. You earn, but every month you don't seem to have enough. You see, friends, it appears to me that they got sucked out. Am I right or not? Everything they have done doesn't seem to be right. They have been sucked out of it. They lost the grace of God and they were interrupted. They were busy building their penthouses and the Lord poured down the stormy weather into their lives until to the point that they began to realize they planted but they did not harvest much. They worked so hard for it. And they ate, but never seems to have enough. There's not enough food around the table. They drink, but they don't seem to have enough water to satisfy their needs. They start to put on clothes, but they're still feeling not warm enough. It's not right. Something is missing. They earn so much, and that much that they have seems to be insufficient. You know, church, we are not dealing with chance. We are not dealing with luck, because I don't believe in luck. I'm not dealing with chances. I'm dealing with the sovereignty of God. Somebody say amen. I'm dealing with the sovereignty of God. Listen very carefully. Because the sovereignty of God tells me very clearly that He holds me accountable to everything that I do. And at the same time, He holds my tomorrow. Somebody saying amen. He is a God who actually intervenes in my life every time I'm in trouble. At the same time, He's the God who interrupts my schedules. Are you with me? You know, He's the God who provides, but He's the God who takes away as well. He's the God who redeems us, and He's the God who can cast away. He's the God who covers our sin, yet at the same time, He's the God who uncovers our sin. He's the God who actually bring about words, and He speak life into us, yet at the same time, He's the God who is silent. Church, we are not dealing with chances. We are dealing with the sovereignty of God. Come on, give Him praise and glory. We are dealing with the sovereignty of God. In verse 9, He says this, you expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, the Bible says, I blew away. Some of you went through those problems and you said, in the name of Jesus, Satan. No, Satan didn't blow away. Satan didn't take your things away, by the way. In case you are not aware, God blew it away. God blew it away. How many of you know, in all my 30 years of ministry, I have seen God interrupt our agenda. God interrupts our agenda. Do you know, in my 30 over years of ministry, I've seen God interrupted relationships. It breaks relationship, seriously, so that your future will be protected. That's what God does. Do you know that God interrupted Joseph's dreams? The Bible, Joseph, he is a dreamer. He dreamt that all his brothers will bow down and they were jealous, they were angry, they threw him into the pit and then sold him as a slave. And then he landed in Egypt. God interrupted the whole process. Because why? Because the end of the story tells me that Joseph will be King Pharaoh's right-hand man. God interrupted that. God interrupted Jonah. Jonah was called to preach to Nineveh, and he decided to avoid that journey. He decided to buy a ticket and get out of the place and go to Tarshish. God interrupted his journey. God interrupted even Paul's mission. If you read the book of Acts, you will notice the Lord interrupted and he ended up going to another place. God interrupted him when he wanted to go to Mysia. Every time I look at the word Mysia, I always think of Malaysia. Mysia. And God interrupted him and brought him to another place. So that when he got there was a Macedonian call for him. And so he went to Philippi. And the first woman who came to know the Lord in that Philippi was a woman called Lydia. God interrupts our schedule. God interrupts our agenda so that he may introduce his agenda. And some of you, you can't take it. When you get into the ruffles and the mess and you get very frustrated and angry. But didn't you know that he blew it away? Didn't you know that some of your interruptions are God's agenda for you? Do not always think that the messed up situation in your life is meant to be from Satan. It's not true. God blew it away. God interrupted so that you will get back to God's agenda. And the Bible says this. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. He says, because of my house, which remains a room in which each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, he says, because of you. Turn to your neighbor, because of you. Come on. Just in case you're not sure. The heavens have withheld the dew and the earth is corrupt. Listen to me. You see, there's something very crucial here. We are linked up with the house of God. Do you know what I'm talking about? You're linked up with the house of God. Your behavior is going to affect the house of God. You are also linked up to your career. Everything you do is going to affect your career. You are also linked up to your family. Everything you do is going to affect your family. We are all linked up to the things of God. And it's very important that we must watch our lives. That's why the Lord said very clearly in this passage, in regards to this interruption, he says, because of you. And I looked at that passage, I realized too, that because of you, the heavens will open up the door. Amen? Do you know that? If it's because of you that the heaven's door is closed, it can also be because of you the heaven's door open. So it's a matter of choice which of these would you want to. Because of you, the heaven's gates is going to pour out their blessing. Amen? Turn to your neighbor. Because of you, the heaven's gates are going to pour down. Come on. Turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, because of you, the heaven's door is open. It's going to flood your home in the name of Jesus. Because of you, that your family is going to be blessed in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Because of you, somebody beside me is going to get blessed. Amen. That's what we should be looking at. Because we're all linked up to the situation of our lives. The third problem they have, the first was procrastination, the second was paradox, and the third one is the lack of priority. You know what's a real problem? The real problem is not because there is a lack of provision. Remember, they were called to build the house, and in their journey, they were given resources. They were given high-quality wood. And what they did was, they took this during the time of the 16 years of not touching the temple. They took the material and built their own home. Those were meant for the house. They built their own home. And so everything was done and everything was dusted. And now the Lord says, hey, you think it's because there is no more provisions? They have provisions. That's why verse 8 says, go up to the mountain, get the timber down, and build my house. So there was provision. So what was the problem? The problem was priority. The problem was priority. But you know what? When I read that passage in verse 8, go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house. And there is one word. It says, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. The word, I may take pleasure in it. That word stuck out. That word stands out so much that I began to look and said, and I asked this question, what does the Lord take pleasure in? You see, the Lord doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. In fact, he said that in 2 Peter chapter 3. He's a God of patience. Am I right? He doesn't want anyone to perish. So he doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. He takes pleasure in the repentance of the wicked. Hallelujah. He doesn't take pleasure in all this crime and all that. He takes pleasure in people who say, I want to be changed. So I begin to look at the reason as to why God says, I take pleasure in the temple. You see, the temple is the revelation of what the real temple will be. What is the real temple? Isn't that the real temple in the Old Testament? I discovered in John chapter 2. In John chapter 2, remember there was this situation where the Lord walks right to the temple and he saw these guys selling doves, selling animals, and having money changers all over the place. And he just went there berserk like somebody who is crazy. Went there, whipped out everything, turned the table upside down, and said, this is the house of prayer. This is not supposed to be the house that you do trading. So that was what he was saying. And so when he did that, there was a challenge. The disciples remembered this. He says this in John chapter 2, verse 17. He says, zeal for your house will consume me. And that was true. The zeal was consuming the heart of the Lord. And then verse 18, so the Jews said to him, what sign do you show us for doing this thing? And verse 19, Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, are you crazy? It has taken 46 years to build the house. 46 years to build the temple. And then you said, in 3 days you're going to rebuild it? But verse 21 says, the Lord says he was speaking about the temple of his body. You know why the Lord takes pleasure in his temple? Because that's the revelation of him. That's the revelation of his body, the temple. And then this whole revelation of him as a temple has been stretched right unto Book of Acts. And then when the Holy Spirit came, in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, there was such an endowment and bestowal of the power of the Holy Spirit upon the body of Christ. And then this temple that we talk about, which he called it his body, is now the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Why? If you look at 1 Corinthians and in chapter 6, verse 19, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, do you see the word? Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Do you see one thing here? The body, the temple, and the body is referring to you and I now. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What is God taking pleasure of right now? He's taking pleasure in his people. He's taking pleasure in those who believe in him. He's taking pleasure in those who say, I am. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I have received the Holy Spirit. I have been baptized by the Holy Ghost. I have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. He takes pleasure in all that because you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then the book of Haggai in chapter 2 says, when he built the temple and it was completed, and the people that knew about the first temple during Solomon's time, they came around and said, hey, look at this temple. It's so small. It's so small. And the Lord said through Haggai, the glory of the Lord in this temple is greater than the former temple. Did you see that? Do you know that the glory of God in you, because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, is greater than the temple that was once taught in Israel. Amen. And there's something more than that. If you look very carefully in regards to the temple, he says in Haggai 2 verse 9, he says, I will grant peace in this temple. I will grant peace. The peace will rest in your soul. when you receive the Holy Spirit in your heart, the peace for the weary souls, the peace for the broken hearts, the peace for those who are afraid of death, peace shall rest upon you when you call upon Him. Peace shall rest upon you because you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Peace shall be granted. And that was prophesied by Haggai. Therefore, when you and I walk today under the anointing of the Spirit, I want you to be sure of one thing. The peace of Christ rests in you. Somebody say amen. I have a great answer as to why God takes pleasure in His temple today. Because God takes pleasure to be where His glory will manifest greater. I ask you this question. Is the glory manifesting greatly at where you are? When you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the glory of the Lord will manifest. The glory of the Lord will begin to move and begin to advance far beyond what human power or ability can do. Life can never be changed by your own caliber. Life can never be transformed by your own strength. When you see someone with a drug addict, he can never give up his drug. He can lie to himself. He can deny all he wants. But without Christ, there is no way somebody can be changed. But with Christ, because I have drug rehab center and I know what it means, no one can be changed without the power of the Holy Spirit. I have this rehab center, a guy who had been in prison for 7 years. He's a big white bloke. He's a mixed blood, but you look at him, he's a white guy, more white than Chinese. And he was in prison for 7 years because he was a wushu expert and decided to have a fight. And whether you call it accidentally or not, I'm not too sure, but he killed the man because he was in drugs. And then after 8 years, he was released and came over to my center. And when I shook hand with him, my Lord, am I shaking hand with a giant? His hand is so thick. His finger is even thicker than his. This is called fat finger. His is called strong fingers. And so when he gripped my hand, my Lord. But you see, no man can change by themselves. You can lie to yourself all you want. Whatever problem you have, don't try to bluff yourself and say, don't worry, I can change. You want to get married to somebody, don't worry, I can change the person. Don't lie to yourself. You can't change that person. You can never change a person. Ask a person who is married, you can't change the person. Amen? You can't change. Yes, James, I know that. I heard that. It's true. That's right. There's nothing to change. That's right. Isn't it true? You can't change. But when a person with the Holy Spirit, they sense the work of God in their lives, and they can be changed. They can be changed. This is exactly what the Lord is saying. But the beautiful thing is this. He says, after this message was given, I'm coming to a close right now. A message came right in during the stormy weather. And the Bible says, then Zerubbabel and Joshua, the high priest, obeyed the voice of God together with the rest of the people. And then the Bible says, the people feared the Lord. And soon after, verse 13, it began to say, then. How many of you know the word then is very much an information of truth for us, reflecting of what has been done earlier, which now you begin to see. Do you know what I'm talking about? What actually happened before is now affecting the present. So because of that stormy weather and the message that came, then they obeyed. They obeyed the voice. They obeyed the message. But that's not all, church. Because verse 13 says, then Haggai spoke to them and said, I am with you. And then the Bible says, so soon after when he said that, soon after they obeyed, soon after they heard the message, soon after they say, yes, I will do what I need to do. Then the Spirit of the Lord stirred their hearts into action. Some of us, we say, we want this guy to do what God wants him to do. The whole situation would never turn into action. The spirit of the man would never be stirred until he decides for himself, I will obey. You know, being a father of three adult kids, always let my wife and I sit down and reminisce the past, the old days, how they grew up. As you and I begin to see how children are raised up, we always want to raise children with the number one objective, to be obedient. That's the first thing. We want our children, am I right or not? We want our children to be obedient. You didn't say, I want to raise my children to be a model. You didn't say, I want to raise my children to be the smartest in the town. To be the smartest in the Tan family, the Lim family, the Sim family. You want to be smartest. You never do that. We were never told to do that, to raise kids like that. I'm not too sure. Do you have that pressure here? The kids here are too relaxed, man. So relaxed. More play, less works. Amen. So what happened? The first thing we train our kids is to be obedient. Once they are obedient, the next line of action will take place. I'm saying this because the Bible says, until they obeyed the voice and the message, the Spirit of the Lord stirred them up into action. There was a great preacher by the name of Dr. W.A. Criswell, told a story of this man. If I mention this name, you'll probably know who he is. But this is the man who said to Dr. Criswell about his story. He said when he was a young man, he desires to be the most famous manufacturer and a salesman of cheese in the world. His name is Kraft. He and his little pony by the name of Patty. Nice name, isn't it? Patty. This little pony goes with him to sell cheese. But as time went by and months passed, this young man began to despair because he was not making any money despite the long hours and hard work. And he told this little pony, he had a little conversation with his pony, by the way. He says, Patty, we are not doing it right. And I'm afraid we have things to be turned around. Our priorities are not where we ought to be right now. Maybe we ought to serve God and place Him first in our lives. He's talking to the pony. Many years after, of course, he did what he said to the pony. Dr. Criswell heard James Kraft say these words after many years. He testified, and this is what he said. I would rather be a layman in the North Shore Baptist Church than to hate the greatest corporation in America. My first job is serving Jesus. James Kraft was an example of a man who put God first and sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He became the founder of Kraft Foods. The moment of time when he felt and he despaired, he felt something was not right. And he started to listen to the voice of God that is stirring in his heart and trigger him to hear it carefully. And he made the turnaround. He decided to obey. He decided to obey. Can I hear an amen? He decided to obey. And he turned around and he went back home, went back to the church, served as a layman leader, served the house of God, making sure that the house of God is God's priority. And then he became the founder of Kraft Food. That whole entire journey and process tells us that when he started to obey, the Spirit of the Lord stirs his heart. Church, the storm sometimes comes into our life to shift our heart to obey. The storm does the work to shift us. Therefore, can I conclude with you? Give careful thought to your wish. Give careful thoughts to your life. Give careful thoughts to how you commit your financial resources. Give careful thoughts to how you live your life as a father and as a mother. Give careful thoughts how you should live your life, not only as parents but as children. Give careful thoughts how you should be a student in the house to be in the school as well. Give careful thoughts in whatever career you are given. Because when you obey the voice of God, when there is a storm, God is wanting to shift you to make it right. And when you obey to make it right, the Spirit of the Lord will stir your heart. How many of you desire for the Spirit of God to stir your life into action? Somebody say, amen. If there is something in your life that has been derailed and has been moving to another direction, and you find so much of frustration and dissatisfaction within your own journey and your own walk with God, then ask the Lord, Lord, help me, help me, help me to move back to the direction that you first called me. Help me to move back to the original call that I'm supposed to be in. Help me to be the man and the woman that you want me to be. And so, Lord, as you redirect me, Lord, I know, Father, that it is time for me to set my priority right now. And when I give my priority to the house of God, you will stir my heart to do all that you want me to do for your glory. So, Father, I'm asking you right now to just touch each one of us, to reveal yourself to us, that we will not stay put in this position and think that everything is normal. But the Lord says, you have ignored the house of God. You have ignored my original call. You have ignored my will. You have ignored what I have spoken to you. And the Lord says, are you dissatisfied? Are you frustrated? Are you not happy with your situation? Are you not happy with your family? Is too much of mess in your home? And the Lord says, let the storm begin to shift your heart to obey my voice, to obey my call, and let the Lord begin to take you back to the original call of God and say, Lord, I won't live in my paradox. I won't procrastinate. I will live by your priority. And the Spirit of the Lord will stir your heart. Somebody say, amen. Give him praise and give him glory. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. And this is what I want you to do, church. I believe this is a time for us to say, Lord, let your Spirit stirs my spirit man. Stirs my spirit man. Stirs my spirit man. I am never satisfied with just that one thing. I want to live my life for your glory. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Will the glory of the Lord manifest greatly in your life? As you bow your hearts and close your eyes, just do me one favor. Would you please stand to your feet in reverence before God's presence? And the Lord laid this heavily in my heart, and we are here to get back to the original call of God. This church was never designed to parade. This church was designed to set every individual free. We are not called to just show what we have, what we are capable. We are called to touch lives. We are called to bring the gospel back to the society. And we will do exactly what God has called us to do. Will you allow the Spirit of God to stir your spirit? As you said, Father, I heard your word. I want to walk in your word. Then the Spirit of the Lord will stir you into action.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.